Oh Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Do you believe in life after death? That there is more to this life than this world is certainly a basic teaching of our Christian faith. We have faith that just as Jesus rose from the grave, all baptized believers are guaranteed eternal life in God's kingdom. Of course, not everyone believes as we Christians do. Polls show that every year, less and less people believe that there is life after earthly death. Some people claim, falsely, that science proves there is no such thing as immortality. So I was surprised when I saw a headline that said some scientists have become convinced that human consciousness goes on even after physical death. They believe that our thoughts, our feelings, our personality continue even after our bodies die. It's nice to see that science may finally be catching up with what we Christians have known all along. Certainly not all scientists believe this. And while I agree with the conclusion that we still live after earthly death, I don't necessarily agree with the evidence that they used to come to that conclusion. We know that everlasting life is a gift from God. They believe for other reasons that we'll say more about later. First, let's consider what we hear in the gospel reading today and apply it to how we know Jesus and what he teaches. It must have been quite the scene in Nazareth that day. Jesus, the son of Mary and Joseph, was back in his hometown. The local boy had done well. He was becoming famous, and everyone was excited to see Jesus again. Jesus went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day as he always did. Let's think about that for a minute. Why would Jesus go to the synagogue? Jesus already had the closest relationship possible with God the Father. Jesus was and is God. He didn't need to hear God's word. He is God's word. He could pray, he could communicate with the Father directly, anytime, anywhere. Like the way that Jesus was baptized to show us that it's the right thing to do, Jesus went to worship each week to set an example for us. If Jesus went to the equivalent of a church service in his time, so can we. Scripture tells us not to neglect meeting together. We need to hear the word and receive the sacrament. We need to give and receive support from our brothers and sisters in Christ. Just as we read from the Bible in our services, in the synagogue, they would read from what was like the Bible to them, what we call our Old Testament. First, they would read from the Law of Moses, the first five books of our Bible. Then they would read something from one of the prophets. The tradition was that if there was a guest rabbi present, as Jesus was that day, he would do the reading from the prophets and then offer a few remarks, sort of like a sermon, but much more concise. Thank goodness we have improved upon the length of the sermon in these modern times. More important than the length of Jesus' remarks was the point of what he had to say. He said the kingdom of God was coming, and in fact, in many ways, it was already there. He wasn't saying the people had to build something. He wasn't saying they had to give anything. He didn't say that they needed to do anything at all. Jesus said the kingdom of God was present there in Christ himself and what he was saying. The kingdom of God was coming to be a reality right then and there in what they heard and what they saw. We're circling back now to that question that we asked about why we believe in Jesus. Well, why do we believe in anything? How do we even know anything at all? Human beings are not born with a lot of knowledge, what we might call instincts. Fish can swim as soon as they are hatched. Many mammals walk the same day that they are born. Most humans, it takes a year or more for them to learn those things. But it is true that the more instincts an animal is born with, the less they can learn. Scientists tell us that human infants have just two instincts. They have a natural fear of falling, and they react to loud noises. Isn't it interesting that the two instincts that we do have to do with fear and self-preservation? Most insects know everything they are ever going to know the moment that they come out of their eggs. A human baby can't do anything for himself as a newborn. He's helpless, but he might grow up to write poetry or to compose symphonies. Our capacity to learn is huge, and this is all by God's inscrutable design. What really sets us apart physically and mentally from the animals are our abilities to communicate and do complex reasoning. These are also God-given abilities that he shares with us human beings. We might go as far as to say that they are God-like qualities. After all, we are made in his image. So, how do we learn? An example. My mother tells me not to touch the hot stove, but I touch it anyway. I get burned, and it's not pleasant. Now, I know from experience not to touch hot stoves anymore, and I also know now that I need to listen and obey what my mother says. Science observes the physical world and makes cause and effect connections, such as gravity pulls things toward the earth and water freezes at 32 degrees Fahrenheit. At its best, science can build spaceships and invent drugs to cure diseases, but science is limited. Science can only deal with the physical world, things that can be seen and measured. Humans can only see a small bandwidth of the electromagnetic radiation that we call light. We can only hear a certain range of frequencies of sound waves. There is much in the physical world that we simply cannot perceive for ourselves. We cannot even trust our own senses. Sure, it seems to us like the earth is flat. It seems to us that the sun revolves around the earth, but we know that that's not really true. Yet at the same time, we believe in things that we cannot see all the time. We cannot see justice. You cannot see truth. You cannot see love, but you know that they exist. We cannot see God either, but we know that he exists. There is a spiritual world that we know very little about, but it's there. In the Nicene Creed, we say we believe that God made all things visible and invisible. There is a veil separating the physical world and the spiritual world. Sometimes God gives us a peek behind that veil. Jesus' neighbors in his hometown had known Jesus as a boy, but they could not appreciate the kind of man that he had become. They could not fathom that he was both God and man. Today, the very thought of God, the very thought of anything being supernatural or spiritual, is out of the realm of many people's thinking. They cannot conceive of the things of God. Their world is limited to only what they can see. They are missing so much. when it is said that Jesus could not do any miracles there in his hometown, it doesn't mean that Jesus' power was in any way diminished by their lack of faith. Jesus' power and authority does not depend on us, on the strength of our faith, or the eloquence of our prayers, or the cost of our sacrifices. What Jesus could have done there would have made no difference to them because their hearts were hardened. It would have been wasted. They were not of a spirit to receive his blessings. They felt so familiar with Jesus that they couldn't see that God was doing something extraordinary through him for them. And that's sad. Likewise, many people today cannot accept Christ and enjoy his blessings because he doesn't fit with their mindset, with their preconceived notions of a limited world. The scientists coming to believe in life after death are doing so based on Einstein's theory of relativity and quantum mechanics. I confess, I do not understand advanced physics like that. These concepts are beyond the power of my intellect. What I understand them to be saying is that previously they thought the physical world created and formed human consciousness. They are seeing it the other way around now. Human consciousness creates and shapes reality. The physical world does not rule the spiritual. The spiritual makes the physical. Again, maybe in some ways, science is catching up with us, but science is not what we base our faith on. There are some things we can say for certain, and these do not come from my intellect. They come from God and his word. God, who is spirit, touches us in this world through physical means to create faith in us. Just as Jesus was present in his body in the synagogue and spoke his word to those there, so does Jesus speak to us here in the written word, the Bible read aloud, and the gospel preached. His presence is also in the sacraments, the waters of holy baptism, and the bread and wine of holy communion. The word we hear and the sacraments we receive build up in us and around us the kingdom of God, where there are spiritual things we cannot see, but which we know to be true. These are the forgiveness of our sins and salvation unto eternal life. This is all fulfilled in your hearing today. You have faith and life within you. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.